Welcome, everyone. This is The Change Show with Simon Phillips, and I'm here with an incredibly precious guest for me today, which is my eldest child, Adam Phillips, all the way from America. He flew in on Thursday, having finished his first year of university out in Drake College, which is in Des Moines in Iowa. Is that right? Have I got all that correct?
Indeed, all correct.
So welcome, Adam, to The Change Show. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, it's lovely to be here. It's an exciting opportunity to be invited on.
Well, you're very welcome. The reason I've invited Adam along is because of the sheer volume of change that's gone on in your life in the last year. And I thought it'd be interesting for the listeners to hear, because there's something about being youthful and being able to embrace change and crack on with it almost with no impact. And that's certainly been visibly, that's been your approach. But for people at home listening to this, they might be experiencing a lot of change at different stages in their lives when maybe there's so many more things going on, if you like, so many more things to juggle, that can be quite tough. So I'm sure we'll get some really good insights from you as to how you've dealt with that and what's been going on. Anyway, for the listeners at home, just tell us a little bit more about you, how old you are, what you're up to, and what are your real interests?
Okay, I'm Adam again. I am 20 years old. I'm at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, as Dad correctly said. I'm there to study vocal performance, and I'm also there on a track scholarship. So I'm part-time music, part-time athlete, and I sort of balancing the line between the two is sort of what I have to focus on pretty much year-round. They are my two passions, and I'm extremely grateful that I'm able to continue both into university and sort of make it my life. Yeah.
Excellent. I keep trying to encourage Adam to do some of his operatic singing when he's doing his athletics, but you're resisting, aren't you?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No.
So there's the first change that we can talk about. So you've decided to go to the US to study. Mm-hmm. So what's that been like, going into a new country, a new culture, and finding your way whilst also doing your studying and your training?
Well, for me, actually, the decision to do music was somewhat of a later decision in the first place. But back a couple of years ago, if you'd asked me what I'd be doing, I'd probably say history. I was going to take the route that both mum and dad had taken, and that seemed like the logical thing for me. But I just got so caught up with my music program at my high school that I just thought that actually this is really what I'm enjoying in my studies, and I want to take it further. And it was definitely the right decision. Going out to America, I am specializing in the performance side of things, with my singing as the main focus here. And going to America, I really didn't know what quite to expect. Obviously, we all hear and maybe see elements of that in movies, and maybe you have friends who've done the process, and so you hear a little bit about it, but it is still a big step, and I really just went in with an open mind, just trying to be as productive as possible when I got out there and see what it was all about. And that took quite a few weeks of just acclimatization, I guess, which was made easier, thankfully, by lots of induction style events that the university held to sort of introduce me to my peers and sort of just get comfortable with the campus for a full 2 weeks pretty much before any lessons formally started.
Yeah, I think the total immersion that they deploy in universities to bring new people in is a fantastic approach to helping individuals deal with change, because you're sort of involved almost from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep in all of the activities around. For you, it was training in the gym and then going into the music studios. All of that means that you sometimes don't even have time to think and worry too much about all of the changes that are happening. Yeah. And then you're able to take everything else in its stride. So what, from memory, if you go back to September last year, what were the things that impacted you first in terms of changes? What sort of things did you notice?
First thing for me was the dietary change when I got out to America. They have a lot of meat, and that is pretty ideal for my diet, certainly with the track program. Obviously need a high protein intake, and that's a good way to get it all in.
So your specific events have been around throwing, haven't they? So you went out there to do discus, but there was another change immediately on the track side as well, wasn't there?
Yes. For my actual year of study, the first thing that I had to get my head around was coach handing me a hammer, which is a 16-pound or 7.26-kilo ball on the end of a long metal wire with a handle. And you're told to spin around in circles and throw it, preferably a long way. It's an interesting event. I've had friends who've done it as I was competing back in the UK, but I've never really touched it all that much. I messed around with it a little bit over the summer before. I think my PR was just about 36 meters, which I was pretty chuffed with. I was disappointed I couldn't quite hit 40, but it was a bit of a challenge picking that up and coach making me seriously consider it that throughout the whole year. And I'm glad it's paid off, because I have come quite a long way since then. I've almost doubled my PB in the year that I've had with coach. But those first few weeks, once he'd given me the ball for the first time, just to see where I was at, he then took the ball away from me, and I wasn't allowed to touch it again for another 2 weeks, where we was focusing every session with either a stick or a chair or just some other implement as such to go through the motions and learn the technique. And it felt much longer than it actually was, but it was a very slow and long process, just getting the basics down. It was very tedious and repetitive.
So the thing that helped you most there was having an expert on hand.
Yes.
To coach you through the process.
Definitely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what else? What else was new for you? I mean, the thing that struck me was the international flavor of the friend groups that you made.
My closest friend is out in America, is a Kiwi. Not that I was going to be expecting that at all. My good friend Anthony, he came to throw hammer specifically. He's done a little bit of javelin, and he's actually starting to try a bit of discus now, and I think that's where he's going to find his second event. But he came out as a hammer thrower, and he's the year above me technically. But we both came in fresh last year and bonded pretty quickly. But then I've also got other friends from elsewhere. I've got a friend, Gaul, from Israel, and then countless Americans, but they're not all from Iowa. A lot of them have come in traveling from all over the place. Got a friend from New Jersey, California, Florida. Obviously lots of Iowans too, but they are a particular breed, the Midwesterners.
Why is that? I know you talked about their generosity in the past. What else have you noticed about them?
Just mentioning on that generosity, it's a known trope out in America that the Midwesterners are Midwest nice, if that makes sense. They're all very friendly, very polite. It seems to be a general rule of thumb that is actually true. My two good friends, Joey and Austin, one from Wisconsin, one from actually Earlham, Iowa. they're both very, very polite guys, but they're also they're particular style of lifestyle, I guess. They're pretty small towns, small communities, and very close-knit. They like their beer, they like their cheese, and it keeps life simple.
I like the sound of that. So what else has happened then in terms of real change? I mean, we were talking before, weren't we, about the growth that you've experienced both on the academic side, because although you're there to do performance, you're also learning a lot about composition.
Mm-hmm.
And then also metaphoric growth in terms of getting in the gym and packing on lots of pounds so that you can get that those weights moving a bit quicker.
Yeah, this year I've put on about 40 pounds, which is that's over 15 kilos, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. But it's gone on reasonably well. I'm not too fat, I don't think. So that's always good, but definitely a lot stronger. I know my numbers in the gym have shot up, and that's really helped with my throwing. That's obviously one change. And then go back to the music. We do focus a lot on the singing, obviously, but there's also the general musical education that comes alongside with music theory as one of the main ones, as well as other interesting classes which were new to me. We were studying a year of vocal diction, focusing on different languages and how you're meant to pronounce each word that comes up, not necessarily how it would be spoken, but definitely how it's meant to be sung.
Yeah,
I found that particularly interesting, and that music theory has helped with my sort of hobbies as well. In my free time, I like to write music of all sorts of different genres, and that's something that has really helped me in my musical writing ability as such.
Brilliant. So lots of change.
Lots of change.
Anything we've forgotten?
Almost certainly, but that's all the groundwork, the basics there.
Excellent. As you know, Adam, we're powered by the GC Index here on the Change Show. So when we did your GC Index a few years ago, I think it was the Young Person Index, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. You were a polisher strategist.
Yes.
So either ends of the pragmatic obsessive scale, pragmatism with the strategist and real obsession with detail and quality and improvement with the polisher side of things. So how does that play out for you, if you like, on a day-to-day basis? How is your life defined by the fact that you've got real energy for polishing and for strategist?
Well, my main strength was my polisher attribute, I guess, which was a bit of a surprise to me at the time. I didn't think that was what I was expecting, but it does actually make a lot of sense now in hindsight. And in a day-to-day basis, that sort of takes the spot of everything that I do. I want to be doing it to the very best of my ability. That means when I'm singing, something I struggle with is if, obviously, singing is very much a how your throat's feeling in a way, and some days your throat's just not feeling so good and you can't make the progress that you were perhaps making the week before when I'm in my lesson with my professor, and for me that something and same with throwing actually, but there's something I really need to focus on is trying not to let other factors irritate me and put me down because my progress isn't as good as it was, or as it could be, or as I envision it to be. That is probably my number one challenge that I'm having to overcome at the moment. But yes, this whole past year, every time I'm doing something, I want to be doing it at my best, and that does help me improve, I think.
So I've talked in previous occasions with Dr. John about the almost like compulsive nature of polishers, and there's a lot of sports coaches that have polisher as a big part of their GC index profile, which probably accounts for the fact that they are able to look at every aspect of what they're doing and see where the improvement can come. But you mentioned something interesting there, which is you're almost fighting against the perfectionist aspect of it and giving yourself some leeway to not always be as good as you would hope it would be in your head. So how does that work for you on a day-to-day basis? So let's say you're in the studio and you're singing and your throat's not quite performing, or you're out on the track and you've got a niggling injury or something underlying that's just preventing you doing what you've imagined. How do you cope with that?
Well, I think my natural reaction would be to get extremely frustrated and almost write off the session. And if I gave into that, I don't think I'd get very far. this past year, for me, it's been trying to reframe my perspective as such going into these sessions. In the studio, I treat it as, well, you know, if I've got a performance coming up and I'm not feeling my best, that's life sometimes, and you just got to get on and do it, and finding ways to be the best that you can be given the scenario is very important, and something that we've Leanne, my professor, and I have been focusing on this year has been to be able to sing through those rough periods. Leanne's so technically proficient that if she could have almost lost her voice entirely, her speaking voice at least, but could still get up on stage and give a performance which would be impressive, obviously not exactly how she would have liked it, but impressive nonetheless. And that's something that she's been helping me to discover, so that I can do the same. So I can get up and I think actually testament to that, my last studio session of the year in front of our small studio of singers that are taught by Leanne, I had lost most of my voice and I was very croaky and I wasn't really feeling all that good, but I got up there and sang, and albeit my voice cracks in a few places, but I was able to make some nice sounds, and that was the takeaway. But looking back at myself at the start of the year, I don't think I would have been able to do that. I think I would have probably frozen and insisted that I just save myself and do it next week, put it off, you know. Mm. And I think that's been really helpful, and that applies to the drumming too, obviously.
So when you push through it and you perform even when you're not feeling great, what do you think of the improvements that you make beyond that? What are the outcomes that you were previously denying yourself because you would have just walked away from it in frustration? Are you experiencing better outcomes now?
Yeah, I think so. And sort of going to the track is my other example here to leap off that and such. It's obviously there are some days where it's just not clicking, or your body's just not feeling all that good, and making sure that you're getting something out of every session is the priority. If the cues that we're say working on for a given week aren't working one day, it's just important to find something that you can hone in on every session, no matter how you're feeling, to improve. Because as long as you're improving something, the whole net gain through the year is going to be that much better, if rather than just getting frustrated and writing it off immediately. Obviously you get some throws which you do just write off, and that's it, that is what it is. But
so you write off some of the results,
indeed,
but you recognize the gains, the incremental gains that you're gaining, maybe in technique, mm-hmm. or mindset, that's going to help you in some of those tougher competitions.
Right? Definitely. Very much a process rather than a Love result it. For every throw.
Love it. And thinking about polisher strategist, has that helped you in any way understanding yourself in terms of maybe any negative aspects of that you experienced when you went out to the States? Was there any part of your earlier experience that you weren't particularly enjoying that you can see how, or you can maybe see why you didn't enjoy it, thinking about your proclivities?
Well, I'm a very social person. I'm very extroverted. I get my energy from other people, I think. And my social semester as such is that fall semester out in the States, where I'm off season. I'm able to let my hair down on the weekends a little more, go out and meet people, attend social gatherings and whatnot. And for me, last year, my priority was very much to solidify the friendships that were going to be the most important for me. So that's my musical colleagues and my track athlete friends. And so for me, my social time was spent there. And I feel like I limited myself on just meeting lots of new people, and I think next year that's definitely going to be something I'm going to focus on, just getting out there, meeting new people, trying new things, now that I have definitely secured.
Brilliant. So we're around to, you know, none of that's really important, Adam. What's important is, what's your favorite track? What one are you going to choose?
Okay, I've done some thinking, and for me, this track has, obviously, I'm trying to pick your favorite song from all those decades of wonderful music. It is a bit of a challenge, and I don't think I could do it, but I have found a track that has a lot of meaning to me, something that my track buddies and I are all very well aware of. It's a track that we always play on the bus to fixtures, and it's a track that we've used various times. I remember a very fond memory, my first time sledding out in the States. I think it was my first time sledding in over 10 years, and, and I was so excited to get out there, and I remember we shot this video because us throwers being the idiots we are, we got out there and we took our shirts off and we insisted on going down the hill topless in the sub-zero freezing temperatures, and it was very silly, but we made an epic video and we played this song, and to me this is a song that reminds me of all those good times. So my song will be Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler.
And from a dad's perspective, next time put your shirt on. And but also, what a brilliant track to choose from Bonnie Tyler, who, like us, is from Wales. Yeah, Bonnie Tyler, what an amazing voice. Here we go then, Holding Out for a Hero. There you go, that was Bonnie Tyler, Holding Out for a Hero. One of my all-time favourite tracks, and a good choice, and well done.
Oh, thank you.
So, Adam, just to finish off then, what would you say in your all your years on the planet, your 20 years on the planet, what's been for you the best piece of advice that you've received so far?
I think it's got to be, I don't think it's ever been put into word, like a word-for-word format for me, but something that both Dad and my mum too have been very insistent on is that I need to do in life whatever my heart desires. And I think that's really everything that I am doing, all the opportunities that I've had made for me, I've really just taken whatever seems to be the best thing for me at any given time, and I think that's honestly what makes my life so great, and I'm so grateful for that wisdom that they've shared with me, and I'm so happy doing that and fulfilling that, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. And the other thing that's impressed me along the way was when you were going through the whole sort of A level, and the general trajectory for everybody was right now off to university, and typically off to British university. Mm-hmm. And I think you took to heart that concept of you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. Mm. If it's not meeting your own, yes, as you say, heart's desire. And I think it was impressive that you then set off and worked out, okay, how can I get across to the States? And that's paying huge dividends for you now. So
it is.
Well done. So that was it, Adam. We're done. Thank you very much. What a great guest you've been.
Thank you for having me.
That was The Change Show here on KLDR, Leadership Development Radio. We will see you all again next week. Have a good one.